Welcome back, comedy fans, to an all-new comedy at the Carlson Cast. Get more information and subscribe at carlsoncast.com. Today's special episode, we're talking about comedy history, and we've got some news, some semi-current-ish news. The show is, of course, brought to you by Sapori Cafe and Catering. It's Rochester's favorite spot for lunch and any of your catering needs. Find them on Facebook and Instagram at Sapori Rochester. Also, Three Heads Brewing, the makers of Rochester's favorite beer. Remember, do good things and always be kind. Now, your very special host before nature reclaims his face, it's Vinny Paulino.
I will be one with the earth once again.
Sure.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in.
You were never one with the earth.
I was going to say, ass. Is ass funnier? What's the funniest thing for nature to reclaim?
Before his ass is compost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll work on that.
I don't know. I like yours. I feel like yours was a little classier.
All right.
So good job.
Thank you.
Welcome to the show. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Carlson Cast. We love you. We miss you. We wish we could just all be in a big room together, group hugging. But it's another one of those episodes.
We have never done that.
No.
I wasn't talking to you guys. I was talking to the audience.
Oh.
Have you seen the audience? Frankly,
yeah.
I mean, bless them, you know, but
solid point. I hope that you're enjoying the episodes that we've been putting out. We just did an episode yesterday with Jim Florentine. We've got some other guests coming up next week. We're going to be trying to, for the first time ever, put out a daily episode, at least Monday through Friday. So keep an eye out for that. Make sure you're subscribed. Visit at CarlsonCast on Instagram or Twitter, or CarlsonCast.com for links to subscribe on iTunes and all that good jazz. And if you wouldn't mind, leave us a review. Tell the people, leave us a review, Brian.
Leave us a review. Preferably
finally
a positive one.
Oh yeah, only if it's good.
Yeah, if it's less than five, the manager yells at me. So
yeah, you can say whatever you want in the comments. Just
I told Mark that Ross was in charge of it. So yeah, all the bad comments fall back on Ross.
That's good.
I think he thinks that Ross writes them. It's weird. Joining us today, you heard his voice, his charming little voice. Glad to hear from him. Billy DeTore, how you holding up? How you breathing, buddy?
I'm doing good. This sort of gets right into my superpower. I'm great at staying at home and watching TV and listening to podcasts and eating. So not having to go outside is kind of my superpower.
I'm really good at all those three things as well.
Yeah, other than the no money, it's actually been kind of fun.
That's the part that sucks, is that society still wants money for things.
Yeah, that sucks. But other than that, it's been pretty good.
Could we all just agree to, like, do away with the money thing, and we'll all just hang out and stay home, and it'll be fine?
Yeah,
barter things like the Native Americans used to?
Yeah, like, I can trade maize for Netflix passwords.
Yeah,
I got an ear of corn. I hear you got a Hulu login. Let's do this. Billy...
Yes,
I think
sir.
You're going to take us through some comedy history this week for April 5th through 11th.
Yeah, because that's kind of what I'm good at. Let's start with birthdays, as we've done in the past, for the week, as you said, April 5th through the 11th. Thursday, April 9th. Do you guys know who Tom Lehrer is?
I do.
Oh, yeah.
Tom Lehrer, comedy musician, wrote songs, was sort of the Mark Russell before his time, and one of my cats is just walking across the keyboard, so I hope that he doesn't affect what's going on right here.
Live TV, ladies and gentlemen.
So I was hoping he wouldn't stop anything, but he didn't. Tom Lehrer, he is going to be 92. He's still alive, living in New York City.
Wow.
92 years old.
Been his big song was the Dope Peddler, right? Wasn't that his big thing?
There was that. Poisoning Pigeons in the Park was a big one. He's actually one of my wife's favorites. She was singing National Brotherhood Week to me for just before we got connected here. So she loves
Very
Tom
funny.
Lehrer, and his records are still out there. So go check them out.
Yeah. And well, if you know any American history, like a lot of his stuff, it's savage. Like some of it, you need to kind of know the context of what was going on, you know, in like the 60s and 70s. But some of it's really, I mean, it's savage. Like it's cutting.
He was sort of the Mark Russell of his time, except funny.
I remember listening to him on like Dr. Demento when I was a kid and having no idea what he was talking about, but I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to do a deep dive on my own on this.
L-E-H-R-E-R, Lehrer.
All right.
Tom Lehrer.
That's something to look up, kids, while you're at home.
He's like if Barry Crimmins had a guitar. is Ooh. Kind of how I would describe his style.
Excellent.
Very cool.
Who else we got, Bill?
Also Thursday, April 9th, Avery Schreiber. He's dead, but he would have been 85. Do you know who Avery Schreiber is? You probably saw him on TV as a youngster.
He got me on that one.
Yeah, give me some. Yeah, I don't know.
There was a comedy team called Burns and Schreiber. They had their own variety show in the 70s. Jack Burns and Avery Schreiber. Jack Burns, you may remember, is the guy that replaced Barney Fife on Andy Griffith. And he was the announcer on Fridays. He's the one that Andy Kaufman went in after on Fridays, Jack Burns.
No fooling. All right.
But wow. Avery Schreiber and Jack Burns, their most famous routine was Schreiber was a cab driver and Burns was an obnoxious passenger, and there was like a double talk thing going on. But
when you said Schreiber and Burns, I immediately assumed like it was during that weird time where Gracie left George. Just needed a new sidekick.
I think he was often known as Not That Burns.
Solid point.
Or Mr. Burns. But Avery Schreiber was also a pitchman for Doritos. He did a ton of Doritos commercials. He had big head of black bushy hair and a big mustache.
Well, why didn't you start with that, Billy? You know that I know everything about Doritos.
Okay, well, he was Doritos pitchman. If you Google his name, you might recognize his picture. And
I love the depth of comedy knowledge here that nobody knows who Avery Schreiber is, but Vinny can go right to Gracie Allen that's impressive.
It is.
Yeah. We are a select type of stupid on this show. We really are.
Yeah. It's a really intellectual type of moron. Intellectual quality of morons here.
Welcome to the news section, Ross, that you never pay attention to.
I know. This is fascinating. I'll shut up now.
I'll wait for my part, Billy.
I'll go on to Friday, April 10th. Junior Samples would have been 94. You know Junior Hee-haw, Samples.
Right?
Hee-haw, yes. One of the Hee-haw may have been the Blue Collar Comedy Tour before the Blue Collar Comedy Tour existed.
Wrong. Hee-haw was kind of funny.
Sick burn. Ron White's good.
Oh, I love Ron White.
And they had good music, although I didn't appreciate the music when I was a little kid.
All right. Who else you got?
April 10th. I believe he's been to Rochester. Orlando Jones.
Yeah, he was at the old club.
Yep. Mad TV. He was recently in the news.
7-Up spokesman.
7-Up spokesman. He was recently in the news. He got fired from the TV show American Gods. He'd been in the last couple seasons, Neil Gaiman's American Gods. And
I actually watched that show, and I thought he was really good in it. I don't know what happened behind the scenes that got him fired. But
They say that the character just isn't involved in the new season. It's just not part of a new season. Orlando Jones is claiming there may be a little racism going on.
I did see the racism claim story about that, but I've never watched the show.
So he was good in it. I watched the first season. So let's see. Born in 1968, so that would have made him 52, if my math is correct. Orlando
Happy
Jones,
birthday,
April
Orlando.
10th. Do you want to do some comedy deaths? There were a bunch of important comedians that died during the upcoming week.
Ross is going to claim infringement. It's gimmick infringement.
I've got a mute.
Oh, do you have a bunch of?
No, and Ross's news, somebody dies every week. It's pretty nuts.
Well,
but listen, when you send me the email on this, Billy, you're not wrong. Holy crap, is this like a depressing week for comedians' deaths?
We'll start with the least known one, although I bet you guys know who he is. April 5th, 2001, Brother Theodore died at the age of 94. Do you remember Brother Theodore from The Letterman Show?
The only thing I remember him from was the movie The Burbs.
I didn't see that.
You never saw The Burbs with Tom Hanks?
No, I didn't.
Billy!
Now I have some time.
You better watch The Burbs. He was, for those of you who've seen the movie, very young Tom Hanks. There's like creepy people who move into the house next door. Yeah. He's one of the creepy people, Brother Theodore.
He was a favorite on the David Letterman show. I think he had maybe a Broadway, off-Broadway show, one-man show.
I didn't know who he was until you said Letterman show, and then I remembered him.
And I still don't until Vinny told me was in the movie The Birds. I didn't know that. So I only know him from The Letterman Show. April 5th, 2014, John Panette died at the age of 50 of a pulmonary embolism.
Is that what got him?
Well, he was a really, really heavy guy, sort of Ralphie May heavy.
Yeah, he was a big, big dude. He was famous for the last episode of Seinfeld, being the guy who got accosted that they didn't help.
Oh, yeah.
He's a very funny stand-up comedian, but a lot of his comedy didn't have to do with his weight. And when he lost weight, his act got harder for him to do.
Yeah, you know, it's a very sad thing because, like, you do fall into a trap of almost being a gimmick. And he in particular, I mean, off the top of my head, I think his most famous act was his famous bit was about like being the fat guy at the Chinese buffet.
You eat too much. Go home.
Right. Right. Yeah. And now it's 2020. That joke doesn't fly for a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
That's why Vinny avoids salads at all costs.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Because he loses half his act.
Shut up. Shut up, you. No, I'm just saying, like, when you're that, like, reliant on something and then it disappears, it's going to be a problem. But he's also, like, came out at just the right time. Because when you think about, you know, the stand-up boom of the 80s and the early 90s and everything, he was the fat comic. Like, when people thought fat comic, they thought John Panette.
Yep.
He really was, like, synonymous with like that genre. So like he was in a lot of ways considered like the pioneer of fat jokes.
Yeah, I definitely remember that Chinese buffet bit.
Yeah, he was on a bunch of TV shows, late night talk shows type of stuff. April 6, 2017, Don Rickles dies at the age of 90. Another innovator, the insult comic.
And a good run, a really good run, respected all the way through, beloved, was able to do pretty much whatever he wanted to, was still involved with the world. He had a great run, and he was a very well-respected man.
And actually a decent actor, too.
He was.
Oh, hell yeah. He was a great Casino. Actor. He was in Casino. He was in a ton of movies.
Dirty Dozen?
How about Dirty Work with Norm Macdonald and Artie Lang?
Well, there's the pinnacle of your career.
Hell yeah.
You're in a movie with Artie Lang.
Artie Lang even sobered up to get to set that day.
And could insult Sinatra and get away with it. I think that's just the ultimate cool. Like, that's just, you don't get any cooler than that.
The famous story of him walking in with a date, and he walks out and he sees Frank's at another table, and he walks past Frank and he goes, "Hey, man, would you come over and say hello? You know, it'd be really a big deal, you know, for my girl. It'd be really amazing. You make me look really good." And Frank Sinatra looks at Don and goes, "Sure, sure, I'll stop by your table." So Frank's leaving. Don and his date are sitting at a table. Frank walks up and goes, "Don, how are you today?" And Don goes, "Frank, can't you see we're eating here?"
I love that story.
That's the best. I mean, he was brilliant. Yeah. R.I.P. Don Rickles.
Okay, Don Rickles. After that, April 10th, 1992, very sad day. Sam Kinison dies at the age of 38. Car crash.
It's hard to believe he was that young.
I know.
When you look at him, he looked like you would guess he was a 50-year-old.
He was a shooting star. He came out of nowhere, blazed brightly, and then was gone, sadly. I got to meet him once on Brother Weeze's show. He was in town maybe just a month before he died and on the show. And it was one of my – I had just started working on the show, so, and it was crazy. Sam Kinison was amazing.
I'm sure you are the only member of the show that's met him. That's pretty awesome.
When he walked into a room, Billy, like, you're working at the radio station and that guy showed up, everyone knew he was there, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And he had his entourage, and Jimmy Schubert was with him that day, and Carl LeBove, and Mitch Walters. I had to think of the name for a second.
But, you know, I haven't thought about Mitch Walters in a long time.
But it, like you say, he grabbed everyone's attention. I have an autographed CD here that I got signed that morning. And he was one of my favorites. And talk about, I wonder if he could do an act now, if he could have morphed himself into doing what he did now.
You know, my worry with him, and this is going to sound really kind of jaded, was not that he was a one-trick pony in any, you know, way, shape, or form, But my worry is, you know, the life that he lived and the lifestyle choices he made of where he would have ended up. I mean, he has the guy, he has like that E! True Hollywood story written all over him. If he didn't die, like he just,
yeah,
you know, ended up living in a terrible apartment, you know, just a horrible, horrible thing until eventually, you know, there's enough nostalgia that it brings him back, his career back from the dead. Like I almost worry that was his path, you know,
he'd have 90 tigers in a shitty zoo.
Are you watching that show?
I watched it already.
I don't want to. When something is that popular, I almost resist.
You're one of those, Billy?
It's worth it. It's worth it. Like, I hate that it's popular, too, because I love it so much. But it's worth it, dude. You have to watch it.
Billy, I am so shocked to hear you say that.
Billy's a hipster.
You're such a pop culture guy. How do you not want to know what that's about?
Well, I've seen everybody post on it, and I'm sure I probably will. But right now, there's too many things that I think look good to go to.
So here's the deal. We're like in for another month of this shit. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you watch it in the next 2 weeks.
If nothing else, Billy, you watch that, and after like the first two episodes, you feel like, wow, I really have my shit together. It just makes you feel better about your own life.
You feel great about yourself.
All right. That's right. Maybe I'll give Tiger King a chance, or Lion King, whatever it is.
You really are doing that hipster thing. Like, it's too, if everybody likes it, it must not be for me.
I don't like Star Wars.
You watch it like 2 years later and love it.
No, I love Star Wars. But okay, I'll give it a chance, although I don't want to.
Does Susan not want to watch it either?
No, she really doesn't. Does it involve, because we haven't seen it, obviously, is there cruelty to the animals at any point?
A little bit, but not as bad as you think it would be.
That's not really what the point of it is. Like, you know, you're watching a thing about a shitty zoo, so you know that it's probably not the best, but there's no, like, cruelty to animals.
Because that's also why we haven't watched Don't Fuck with Cats. No, there's that other documentary, Don't Fuck with Cats, that I hear is tremendous, but I may have to watch that one alone, because
I think I'm going to have to watch that one, because I haven't seen it either. That's one that's on my list, so thank you for bringing that up. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get back to comedy, shall we?
More deaths. April 11th, 2000. Oh.
April 11th. From one uplifting subject to another.
April 11th, 2013, Jonathan Winters dies at the age of 87. I love Jonathan Winters. I just wrote a little piece about him because I wore Jonathan Winters' t-shirt a couple weeks ago.
Your Jonathan Winters t-shirt sent me on a YouTube spiral the other night, and I watched probably 30 clips of him on Carson.
Yeah, he was one of the biggest.
And they were so funny.
Mm-hmm. Just a master of improv. Robin Williams' biggest influence. And it's sad that, and I was going to say younger people nowadays, but it's still people our age who may only remember him as Murph McConnell on Mork and Mindy.
That was where I first saw him. Mm-hmm. That was absolutely my first exposure to him.
Probably me too, yeah.
Yeah, do yourself a favor. Watch a little Jonathan Winters. You got time.
Yeah, the Carson interviews, he's so good. Like, he just comes out in a stupid outfit and just rambles incoherently, but it's hilarious.
So,
all right. What else we got, Billy?
And the last one, April 11th, 2018, not a comedian, but very important to the comedy world, Mitzi Shore died at the age of 87. Have any stories about her?
Never met her.
No?
Never met her. I've heard a million stories about Mitzi from a lot of people. Beloved. She was absolutely beloved.
Yeah. Owner of the comedy store, Pauly Shore's mom.
Yeah.
Her
She was
sorry.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Billy.
No, I was going to say her ex-husband, Sammy Shore, long run is the opening act for Elvis Presley.
That's something people don't know. So RIP, Mitzi. So we got some comedy history for this week, Billy?
Yeah, we got a few things happening. April 8th, 1979 was the 204th and final episode of All in the Family, a groundbreaking sitcom.
Another death, huh?
Yeah, death of a TV show. Believe that's the one where what did happen in that episode of I know I've seen it All in
Brian,
the Family.
You watched it live.
I watched it, but I don't recall what happened.
Yeah, by that time Daniel Brisbois had joined the cast as Anise, and Mike and Glory had moved to California. And there were still a couple spinoffs of All in the Family afterwards, so it wasn't the end of Archie Bunker, just the name All in the Family.
Yeah.
Archie Bunker's place followed it up.
That went out on top, didn't it? And wasn't it still doing pretty
well? Oh, yeah. It was a huge Saturday night lineup, and I believe Sunday for its final couple seasons. But, yeah, groundbreaking sitcom in the way it dealt with race, religion, politics, the right versus the left, way before its time.
And the last bastion of Pollock jokes.
Yeah. And the N-word on television.
Yep, yeah. I forgot about that, the N-word on it, yeah.
Yeah,
that blows my mind too. They really did a nice job. Billy, what are you doing to that cat?
I don't know. He just decides to meow every once in a while. He wants to go upstairs, but
it's funny. Billy's like, no, it's not me. That's Ross's mic. That's Ross.
No, that's my cat Oliver.
Hey Oliver. So All in the Family was one of those shows where maybe it shows you the proper way to deal with family members that you don't necessarily agree with politically.
Just berate them and call them the N-word?
Well, he didn't call Mike that. I'm just saying, though, like, I mean, it was a pretty good way of, like, you could disagree but still be a family. It was an interesting perspective that wasn't put out on television in a lot of ways. Like Billy said, it was groundbreaking.
Yeah, it definitely was.
All right, what else we got, Billy?
Okay, besides my cat, April 10th, 1974, Penn and Teller meet for the first time. A musician friend of theirs, Weir Christmer, introduced Penn and Teller. Penn was a juggler in college, doing an act somewhere, and Teller was a Latin teacher who did magic on the side.
But Teller doesn't speak. How could he teach Latin?
He always speaks in Latin. You know, they just were advertising. They're doing one of those master classes.
Yeah.
And they showed the commercial for it. And Teller just all of a sudden breaks into a soliloquy about how you're supposed to do this type of illusion and this. And I was like, stop that. I was immediately off put with hearing his natural voice.
I've spoken to Teller a few times and it's unnerving. It still is unnerving.
You're going to pick that name up?
Yeah.
Did you ever see the movie Penn and Teller Get Killed?
Remember the last time you tried to call me out for that?
I have never seen that movie.
It's not good, but it's not awful. And it's interesting in that Teller speaks a lot in it. And like you said, it's weird. It's weird to hear Teller talk.
Yeah.
So,
like, I almost want, like, the great thing about him is you almost believe that character.
Yeah. Like Harpo Marx.
Yeah. 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 Exactly right.
Yeah. Like, he's just done it. He's just done it so well for so long.
We got one more history story. This is the final episode of the sixth season of Saturday Night Live on April 11th, 1981. And it's a weird one for a number of reasons. First, it had no host, which is really weird. Saturday Night Live always has a celebrity host. For some reason, no host that week. They did a cold open with Chevy Chase talking to Mr. Bill about the old days, the old claymation little puppet that used to be on Saturday Night Live.
Oh no!
Which I believe ended with Chevy Chase falling on Mr. Bill and Live from New York at Saturday Night. Chevy Chase did Weekend Update that day because Charles Rocket was fired the week before for saying the F word on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, we remember.
Yeah, yep. We talked about that. So it was kind of weird. And it was also the last episode of the season when it wasn't really supposed to be. A writer's strike ended the season. So there were still like another four episodes that were supposed to happen after that.
Those dang unions.
Exactly. So a writer's strike ended Saturday Night Live. It was also the first episode produced by Dick Ebersol, who took over from Jean Demanian, I believe is how you pronounce her name. She was the producer that got fired along with Charles Rocket after that disastrous sixth season.
You know, there's a lot of things I find interesting here that a writer's strike could actually close out SNL, considering that they hired so much like improv talent and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I get it. I totally get it. All right. That is This Week in Comedy History. Great job, Billy.
Thank you, guys. Thank it's you, nice Oliver. To talk to you guys.
Yeah, man. Stay on the line with us. Ross is going to do some news. For those of you who don't know, Ross Johnson is still here, even though he's been quiet. Ross, tell the people what's going on in the world, would you?
Hi, everybody. Thank you, Billy, for that excellent history thing. You took you. All I had was deaths, so I don't really have anything now. So we can just go. And there were deaths from a long time ago because I don't really keep up. But I've got four stories this week. A couple of them are short though, so we won't be here for too long. So Lunel, we love Lunel, right?
Lunel.
Yeah.
Carlson, tell me she's okay.
Carlson, well, she's doing okay. She's doing okay. So last month. And there's an update to this. So last month, she had a message to her daughter, Danelle, and that message was "get out." she did a public Instagram post where she basically said, you know, my daughter's not allowed to come home. She's not taking this seriously. She said, "I have to make the best decision for me and my husband, who is already suffering from COPD. I'm sure most of the millennials." Danelle's 20, so she would not be a millennial, but think we're dramatic and overreacting because they're not as woke as they think they are. This is our lives. We're talking about people, especially if you're a certain age category. I'm bummed, but it is what it is.
So you're saying that she's not letting her daughter come home because of COVID-19?
She feels that she didn't go into a ton of detail, but her sense was that her daughter was not taking things seriously. So she was, essentially, I guess she was not staying home. So she was going around her husband, you know, Lunel's a little bit older. Her husband has COPD. So her feeling was, you know, she didn't want her daughter in and out of the house, potentially exposing them to.
Was there any transcript of the speech that she gave? Because I have a son that I would probably like to give that same speech to.
Well, so here's the thing. So she's
typhoid Parker.
She's she sort of followed up on this, and you could probably she pulled down the Instagram post only because she says that basically her daughter was getting dragged about it. Her daughter sort of didn't really disagree with what her mom was saying, but she had come back to her and sort of said, like, okay, everybody's yelling at me now for being an idiot. So Lunel took the post down, but she said she did that exactly for people like you and like your son, for people who she felt like she wanted to make it public because she wanted to make it clear that she was taking this very seriously and people should take it very seriously as people, especially people who are a little older. So she pulled
finding out that your parents have kicked you out of the house from social media. like you just look on Twitter one day and you're like, what the fuck?
You get a TikTok video of your mom's thing. It's like, you can't come home doing a little dance.
She spoke about it recently on Claudia Jordan's Fox Soul live on a Facebook live show. She talked about how, she sort of felt bad about the backlash for her daughter and that her daughter didn't really have a problem with not being able to come home. She had a problem with the backlash she was receiving. But Lunel ended with, and Brian, maybe this is something you can use, but she still can't come here. Shit. So.
Ryan, and I don't get on TikTok, make a video for Parker.
I am. I'm going to do a little dance and everything.
And look,
Ross,
I don't,
Ross,
I don't,
can you choreograph it for me?
Absolutely. I'll have that. I'll have something for you this afternoon.
All right.
I don't blame her. And other than the characterization of it, you know, again, everybody in the world, 20-year-olds are not millennials. That's not 20-year millennials are like 40.
Are they zennials? What are they called?
I think they're saying Gen X is the.
No, Gen X is us.
Or Gen Z, sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to Gen Y. I guess
don't,
that was...
Don't lump those people in with us.
Sorry. Yeah. So, I don't blame her. Good for her, I say. And, you know, hopefully everything works out with Lunel and Danelle and everybody lives and is happy and good.
All right. What else you got, Ross?
So, a little bit of shade going on in these troubled times. So, comedian Kevin T. Porter, a name you might have heard, he says... right now we all need he posted this on Twitter. He said, right now we all need a little kindness, you know, like Ellen DeGeneres always talks about. She's also notoriously one of the meanest people alive. Respond to this with the most insane stories you've heard about Ellen being mean, and I'll match everyone with $2 to the LA Food Bank.
Nice.
That is awesome.
What a dick move. I love it.
I love it starts with like, we need a little kindness. What have you got to say about Ellen? I looked through some of the story and it's sort of hard to I don't know. It's hard to know like who's telling the truth because some of them seem reasonable and some of them seem sort of, I mean, there's stuff where like, if she is really doing this stuff, it's pretty like, there was a woman who was a wait staff at an LA restaurant who apparently like almost lost her job because Ellen and Portia complained about her chipped nail polish.
What?
Portia seems like a bad influence too. I can't imagine her being a nice person. But the stories about Ellen went all the way back to her old sitcom. I remember an Entertainment Tonight thing or something, and somebody left the show right after her character became gay, and everybody thought it was because they were upset about that, and they were like, no, she's just awful.
I remember hearing stuff like that at the time, but you know, I don't know her personally. I guess there was another woman who.
Does it surprise you though? Like, aren't you more suspicious of the people who smile and are pretending to be that happy? Brian, I don't want to do a joke from your act, but you always say, like, this person, they're just, like, so out there and happy. You know they go home at night and twist cats.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, like, I just feel like she's got that vibe, like, that crazy, like, people who spend so much energy on being positive. I feel like the negative, when it comes out, it's, like, evil.
Well, I you know, one of my best friends used to be a PA for the old Rosie O'Donnell show.
Oh, God. And she's another one.
Oh, yeah.
When she did that show, like, she went over to the dark side the second she left that show.
Oh,
she
yeah.
I hate everybody.
Even like I went to the show rap party for when the series ended. And like, even
no,
her.
You didn't. Shut up.
No, I did. I got drunk and did karaoke. It was good.
Point to us on the doll where Rosie O'Donnell touched me.
Well, no, which like song? Even her. She hit me, baby, one more time. It was that sort of era. Actually, I think the song was even old by then. But so she, even her speech, like her.
So hold on.
Okay,
you drunkenly sang "Hit Me, Baby, One More Time" in front of Rosie O'Donnell.
Yeah, I mean, she wasn't there. I mean, she was. She wasn't like standing right there. But yeah. Why not? Why wouldn't you? I don't know. You know, what's she going to do for me? Like, how's Rosie O'Donnell going to hurt my life? I can do what I want.
I can think of a few.
I'm not afraid of Rosie O'Donnell.
Did you hear that, Rosie? That's a challenge.
But she even gave a speech that was like her like inspirational thanks for all your work speech was like, look, I know, you know, you guys, I just needed to be really tough on you so that you would do better. I mean, it was very like it was
an apology.
It was kind of passive aggressive. It wasn't even an apology. It was sort of like it was almost like I'm sorry I was so mean to you, but I had to be because otherwise you guys wouldn't have done anything.
Like, it was very weird. He's taking notes for his speech when we wrap this show up.
Absolutely.
Hey, can I jump in quick with a story?
Of course you can.
You're just talking about how you worry about happy people really being crazy. Before I went back to work with Wheeze on Radio 95.1, I worked at a factory, and there was a guy. Hi, how you? And he was just way over the top, way too happy.
How many people did he kill?
Okay,
they find the bodies?
From the Rochester DNC, March 5th, 2013. Orleans County Sheriff's deputies, or his name was Dennis Bueller. Dennis P. Bueller and his wife were taken to Strong Memorial Hospital because. He shot his wife, set their house on fire, then shot himself.
What year was this?
2013. Wow. I worked with this guy from 1999 until 2010.
You're lucky you escaped the mayhem.
Yeah.
So
maybe he just missed you.
And he was the guy
saw your face while he stared into the flames of the house burning.
He was the guy like literally
Billion Oliver.
The joke around the factory was he's going to be the guy that goes crazy. And we'd always said it and he did.
People who smile and are that happy and then just fade into the background. You got like they do those people like you see them and they're like, hey, how you doing, Jerry? Nice to see you. They glad hand you and whatever. And then they just you don't see them until the next time they're being that happy. They are up to something.
You know, my sister has an obsessive theory about Tom Hanks that's going to happen someday. She hates Tom Hanks so much. And she's just sure that he's going to turn out to be a horrible person.
That's interesting.
Shut up, Brian.
So to Billy's
point. I'll do it.
So to Billy's point, Ellen DeGeneres, not that bad, I guess.
She's fine. She hasn't shot in Porsche.
Yeah.
I need to go back to Ross singing Britney Spears karaoke. Ross.
Yeah.
Ross.
I'll do it for you for your birthday.
Oh, can't wait. I thought you were going to do Marilyn Monroe this year.
I also passed out in my underwear later, so it was a good time. I was a younger man then.
So you knew the PA, you get into the rap party for the last episode of the Rosie O'Donnell show.
Yeah.
You're a cheap date.
It's true.
And you just start looking for a microphone.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Ross has got to shine. What costume are you wearing?
This is my chance.
Hit it.
Hit it, boys. I must confess. Killing me.
This is an image that's going to make me smile for years.
This might explain why Rosie O'Donnell's speech was a little passive aggressive. Actually, Rosie O'Donnell. She's trying to talk. She's trying to talk during this.
You tried to open for her.
Rosie's just sitting there, cross-armed with a stern glance near the buffet, just glaring.
Nah, she's eating shrimp cocktail. Sure. She's just popping shrimp cocktail. Watch Ross going, oh, thank God the show is over.
Thank God the show's over.
We ended this just in time.
Ross.
Yes, sir.
Great job today.
Thank you.
What else you got?
Okay, so a couple more quick ones. So this I just thought was interesting, and I feel like this is a bad idea, but I guess we'll see. So the Ben Silverman and Paul Liebenstein, who are the two guys who were the EPs for The Office, the American Office, so big, you know, big mm-hmm. big people who know what they're doing.
I do not recognize them as Office canon.
So they're
it's Swillberg or nothing, baby.
So they're coming. So they've come up with a, and again, I don't know about this one, but so they've come up with a new workplace comedy that they're working on, inspired by COVID-19 and the idea that people are now working remotely. So their new workplace comedy is inspired by the current environment of offices being closed and people working. And it's going to be about people working remotely and having meetings and remotely and things like that. So these are smart guys. I assume they know what they're doing. However, I feel like, I don't know. I feel like this is, if you had this out like right now, it'd be fine. I feel like in a year, I don't know if people are going to care about.
Didn't Lisa
meetings.
Kudrow do that show already?
I think she did.
She did a show, I want to say in the last 10 years, where she was like, what was it called? She was like a therapist, and she was like the therapist that you talk to over the computer. And the show was just her Skyping with someone every episode.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't seen it. I love her. I would watch. It sounds like I would watch that. But
yeah, it wasn't half bad at all. It was pretty funny. Web therapy, I think it was called. I don't know. But
anyway,
this seems like they're missing an opportunity because all they talk about is doing an office reunion.
Yeah,
this seems like the natural way to do it.
Yeah,
where you just have everybody wherever they are filming something that they're working from home.
It doesn't need to be COVID related though. I mean, people do that all the time now.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's the idea with this show is like this is just sort of the new normal thing. Again, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, they're obviously smarter than I am. So I assume they know what they're doing.
There are going to be a lot of businesses that are having everybody work from home and realize, oh, you know what? This works. Let's just do this.
Yeah.
I respect The Office very much for being able to find the wackiness and the dullness. I'm very impressed by that. They did good work.
Yeah, absolutely. So finally, there's a new channel coming to SiriusXM if you have SiriusXM, which some of us
Howard
do.
102.
Howard 103. But so they're launching a new channel. This is going to be channel 105, actually. It's called She's So Funny, and it's a new comedy channel devoted exclusively to showcasing female stand-up comedians, current and past. So they've got, you know, some of the names, there are a ton of names, but they listed like Tiffany Haddish, Amy Schumer, Ali Wong, Wanda Sykes, Lily Tomlin, Moms Mabley, Whoopi Goldberg, just some of the names that they'll have, which I'm sort of excited about. I know there was this weird, you know, there's that weird, I don't know if it's still a thing, but you know, there was that weird debate about like women being funny or whatever.
Bonnie McFarlane did a movie about it.
Yeah. Like most of my favorite comedian type people are women. So that never registered with me. So I'm kind of excited about this. And I'm going to check it out.
Yeah. Ross likes Rosie O'Donnell.
Rosie O'Donnell, mm-hmm. Ellen DeGeneres.
And Britney Spears.
That Rosie O'Donnell is a great listener.
And Moms Mabley. That's it.
The unintentionally hysterical Britney Spears.
Yep.
So good job, guys. It was a pleasure talking to you all this morning. Thank you for tuning in. We hope we entertained you a little bit today. Please, as always, subscribe, Find us on the internet, Carlson Cast. Tell a friend, and please make sure that you're paying attention next week. We have three really great guests lined up, and we're going to have a couple of silly time episodes. I guess that's kind of what these are. So until then, wash your damn hands.
Don't touch me.
Act right. And don't touch Ross.
At all. A little bit. Only with gloves. Only with gloves.